Today, my dear faithful, is the first Sunday after Easter, also called Low Sunday. And the epistle is taken from St. John's first epistle at chapter 5. Dearly beloved, whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory which overcometh the world, our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? This is he that came by water and blood, Jesus Christ, not by water only, but by water and blood, and is the Spirit which testifieth that Christ is the truth. And there are three who give testimony in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one. And there are three that give testimony on earth, the Spirit and the water and the blood, and these three are one. If we receive the testimony of men, the testimony of God is greater. For this is the testimony of God which is greater, because he hath testified of his Son. He that believeth in the Son of God hath the testimony of God in himself. And the Holy Gospel. Taken from the Gospel of St. John, chapter 20. At that time, when it was late that same day, the first of the week, and the doors were shut, where the disciples were gathered together for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in the midst and said to them, "Peace be to you." And when he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. The disciples therefore were glad when they saw the Lord. He said therefore to them again, "Peace be to you. As the Father hath sent me, I also send you." When he had said this, he breathed on them, and he said to them, "Receive ye the Holy Ghost. Whose sins you shall forgive, they are forgiven them, and whose sins you shall retain, they are retained." Now Thomas, one of the 12, who is called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said to him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Except I shall see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my fingers into the place of the nails, and put my hand into his side, I will not believe." And after 8 days, again his disciples were within, and Thomas with them. Jesus cometh, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst, and said, "Peace be to you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put in thy finger hither, and see my hands, and bring hither thy hand, and put it into my side, and be not incredulous, but believing." Thomas answered and said to him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus saith to him, "Because thou hast seen me, Thomas, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and have believed." Many other signs also did Jesus in the sight of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written, that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name. And thus far the words of today's Holy Gospel. Dearly beloved, whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory which overcometh the world, our faith. Words taken from the epistle of today's Mass. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Yesterday, my dear faithful, was the feast of St. George. For those who have attended an All Saints' Day pageant, when the children dress up as saints, then you have probably seen St. George. This is because he has everything a boy could want: a horse, a sword, and a dragon defeated at his feet. But of course, this saint holds great meaning for all. St. George was a Roman soldier in the late 3rd century, when most people were pagan and Catholics were persecuted. He lived in the ancient country of Cappadocia, which is present-day Turkey. It happened one day that this saintly soldier was riding his horse past the city of Selene when he came upon a young woman in tears. The maiden was walking alone towards a small lake that was near the city. Though her head was bent down, St. George could see a look of devastating sorrow on her face. Our hero drew near to her and asked the reason for her tears. The girl looked up at him in surprise, so overcome with grief she must not have heard him ride up. She then urged him to ride away, lest he die along with her. The soldier saint told her he refused to leave and asked again what was wrong. Finally, the young woman explained that she was walking to her death, for she was going to be fed to a dragon who dwelt by the lake. Her people had to offer a sacrifice to this dragon, or else it would breathe a poison into the lake. And this lake was the city's water, and so all the people would suffer if the dragon was not fed. Fair daughter, said St. George, doubt not that I shall help you in the name of Jesus Christ. The young woman implored him to leave. Go your way, she said, for you cannot save me. No sooner had she said this than the dragon appeared. The massive reptile stood at the edge of the lake, its scales glinting in the sun, its fangs dripping with drool, and its slitted eyes glaring at the saint and the young woman. The monstrous beast then burst into a run. St. George, undaunted by the dragon charging at him, immediately drew his sword, made the sign of the cross, then spurred his horse to meet the charge of the beast. In the field, he struck the dragon with his blade, and the lizard fell to the ground, writhing in pain. St. George then dismounted, approached the dragon, and with a slice of his sword, beheaded the lizard. At the sight of this, not only that girl, but the whole city of Selene was converted. Over 15,000 people were baptized that day. And all this came through St. George's faith and his confidence in God. Death had stood before him, but this warrior of Christ made the sign of the cross and fearlessly charged forward. St. George won this victory because, as the epistle of today's Mass tells us, whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory which overcometh the world, our faith. What is born of God is the virtue that we perform by God's grace. And the world which St. John spoke of being overcome by the things of God is this world we live in, this world of trials, sorrows, and temptations that each of us must go through here on earth. St. John was speaking of the world, especially at his time. How much more is the world our enemy today, when there is so much more to tempt us and so many trials to overcome? It seems the devil, like the dragon in the story, has made this place his home, and he pours forth the poison of temptation. Every day, it seems, new sacrifices are given to him, new souls are lost to his clutches, and it may appear there is no hope in overcoming him. A natural temptation is to be like the apostles on Good Friday. On Good Friday, they saw not a dragon, but their Roman soldiers take away their beloved teacher, the wonder worker who had raised dead men to life, the man who they looked upon as their longed-for Messiah. The apostles saw the danger before them, and they gave up. They lost their faith, and they fled. It was not until Easter Sunday that our Lord stood in the midst of his apostles and showed himself to be the conqueror. "Peace be to you," he said, holding out his wounds to his apostles. Then he gently rebuked them, "Be not faithless, but believing." It was as if he said, "Trust in me, in my words. Trust in the wounds I have suffered for you. Believe in me, and you can overcome all." In the 3 years preceding this, the 3 years of our Lord's public life, Jesus Christ had prophesied his coming passion a number of times, and even the particulars of how it would happen: the scourging, the crowning of thorns, the crucifixion. But he also foretold that he would rise again the third day. Good Friday came to pass exactly as he said it would, but his disciples did not believe. They could not understand. They couldn't see the point of his sufferings. They couldn't see how this terrifying, humiliating, and torturous ordeal could possibly be what our Lord had chosen. They had expected a Messiah who would be a conqueror, not a Messiah who would be a victim. And the apostles' own ideas of how things should come to pass prevented them from understanding God's divine plan. And so they could not believe our Lord's prophecies about his passion and his resurrection. Our Lord had to stand before the apostles, alive and immortal, and show them his wounds in order to convince them of his resurrection. To put it simply, the disciples did not trust our Lord enough. They did not have a firm virtue of hope. Theologians define hope as a theological virtue by which we firmly trust that God, who is all-powerful and faithful to his promises, will in his mercy give us eternal happiness and the means to obtain it. By faith, we believe in the truths God has revealed. But it is by hope that we trust God will give us heaven and the means to it, even if the means are not what we want or expect. The apostles rejected the crucifixion of our Lord as the means to heaven, and so when it came, they fled. Are we at times, my dear faithful, like the apostles? Do we flee from the struggle to overcome? Do we just give up and allow ourselves to fall? Or are we like St. George, and with a firm faith and trust in God, we carry our cross? St. George could face death itself with courage, because as St. Augustine tells us, if God is with us, then who is against us? We, my dear faithful, must imitate this soldier of Christ, overcoming sin and temptation through the power of God. Of ourselves, we cannot succeed. We cannot overcome the devil and his legion. But with God, we cannot be overcome. With a true, humble confidence in God, we can walk fearlessly. Of course, this still means we must walk wisely as well. We must take the necessary means to avoid temptation when possible, especially at the proximate occasions of mortal sin. Proximate occasions of mortal sin are those temptations which often do lead us to fall. To allow ourselves to be tempted in this way, when we can avoid it, is like putting ourselves in the jaws of the dragon. On the other hand, temptation will come to us. We will have to face it. But with God on our side and our best efforts, we can always and every time overcome. We will have to carry our cross in order that we may win our victory, the salvation of our soul. I urge you then, my dear faithful, to put your trust in God every day. Like St. George, put yourselves in the hands of God, then face the battles before you. A practical means of doing this is when you begin something, begin it with a prayer. Just a short mental prayer, such as, "My Jesus, mercy." Or you can make an offering to God of what you are doing. In this way, you will remind yourself why you are here, to save your soul, and that what you are doing is for God. Each of us has temptations to overcome, and they will come throughout our life every day, almost every hour of the day. Begin each hour, then, with God in your minds and your hearts, asking his help. For as St. John tells us in today's epistle, whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. Beg of our Lord the strength to carry your cross well. In this way, you will overcome the dragon, that is the devil and his legion, who seeks to devour your soul. This is the victory which overcometh the world, your faith. Trust in God. Strive to carry your cross. And you too, like St. George, will be a hero of Christ and win the victory of heaven. May God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.